Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Servant, our father, Prophet Amos Femwa. Celebrate the set man over this house. Very choice servant of God, Pastor Femi Okanlawa. Thank you so much, sir. Truly an honor. Thank you for having me. I'll just share with us for 30 minutes. And then we'll trust the Lord to minister to you by His Spirit. We're in the last days of the move of God. Religion is no longer tolerated, because what you believe may be the reason why you'll be spared. The darkness in our time is enormous. And so everyone walking in deception will himself become a victim. And so it's important for us to press into God and find out what truly works. Sometimes we become too relaxed and we don't understand what is happening across the nations of the earth. 2 weeks ago, I was in the nation of Pakistan and I saw what it meant to be in the place of terror. If you don't know God, you cannot be a Christian. You know you would dare not try it. Because Christianity does not just hold promises, it holds a lot of danger that you must defy because of the supernatural elements that is worked into our belief system. And so that time is approaching, and that time is upon us. Because if we remain relaxed, darkness will encroach into our borders and will not have men strong enough to say restore. And so it's time to examine spiritual realities and understand their efficacy and deploy ourselves completely to bring these things to pass. Else, we'll become an endangered species indeed. And so tonight, we want to consider again the subject we started looking at yesterday. I'll just do a brief recap for 10 minutes and then talk to us for 20 minutes and we are out of here. Some of the scriptures I would have loved to speak on, I don't have the time to expand on it. So I'll just mention a few scriptures. And then I believe you are Berean Christians. You will go to search them out to see if the things written or the things uttered are so. Praise the name of the Lord. Last night I attempted to expatiate on the purpose of this conference. And I said the major emphasis for this conference is to help us understand how to mobilize the help and the advantage of the Spirit. We have come to realize that as mortals, we are grossly limited without the input of the Holy Spirit. And so this conference is put together to to help everyone come to the place of understanding on how to mobilize the powers, the help and the advantage of the Holy Spirit that is available to every one of us. And the reason it's important for us to tap into the frequency of the Holy Spirit, I said yesterday, is that number one, the foundation of reality is built into the Spirit. Everything you see and know has its roots in the Spirit. And so if you don't know how to deploy the resources of the Spirit, you will be caught up and you'll be a victim of the intersection of the realms. And so it's important for everyone to know how to delve deep into the Spirit, because therein lies the foundation of reality. In Isaiah 34 verse 16, it said, "Search ye out of the book of the law and read." He said, "None of these things shall fail." He said, "None shall desire her mate." He said, "The mouth of the Lord, it has declared it, and his Spirit has gathered it." And so the speakings of God, the word of the Lord, and the Spirit of God is where the where reality dwells. In Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, the Bible said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And something went wrong. He said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Thank God it happened, because it helped us to understand how the first foundation was built. If not for the darkness that came up, we would not have understood the technology for building the foundations of reality. But because there was chaos upon the face of the deep, scriptures helped us to understand again how the original foundations were laid, because he did it the same way he did it before. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord hovered upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light." The moment God spoke into the movements of the Spirit, the foundation of the earth appeared again. And so we said, until a man is able to deploy the resources of the Spirit, he cannot be established in this realm. Because this realm is not standing on a rock. The foundation of the earth is not a rock. The foundation of the earth is the word of God and the Spirit of God. Every time God wants to do anything, the word and the Spirit was married together. In Luke chapter 1 verse 35, when the virgin was to give birth, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you." Whereas the angel brought the word of the Lord, but the Spirit had to overshadow. The intercourse between the word and the Spirit is what births foundations of reality. And so if your destiny must be established, then it must be built on the word and on the Spirit. This is why this conference is important, that men will for once be enlightened to understand that their mental capacity is not sufficient to build their life upon. Men must be made to understand that their connection with men is not sufficient a foundation to build their lives. If your faith is in a man, then you don't know that the verdict has already been passed. He said, "Woe unto him that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh." He said, "The arm of flesh will fail." The only foundation upon which your very important and significant destiny should be built is on the word and on the Spirit. This is why we have come to learn how to mobilize the powers of the Spirit. And I said, the second reason why it's important for us to learn how to mobilize the power of the Spirit is because as we journey through life, there are forces that try to negate and undermine the purpose of our existence. You may be born into a godly family. There may be many prophetic words over your life. Remember, before Jesus was born, his conception was by the Holy Spirit. There were prophetic words years before his conception. But the moment he was born as a child, Herod sought to kill him. Foundation is laid, but while you are yet journeying, there will be forces that come to take you out. And this is why it's important again to learn how to mobilize the powers of the Spirit. And I told us yesterday that there are three major expressions of these forces. The first is a mountain. A mountain tries to stop you from going forward. No matter what you do, you have all the certificates, you have all the connection, yet you can't go forward. Somebody came to me complaining and asking for prayers. What is the problem? He worked with the Senate president of the past dispensation for over 14 years. He will tell him, "Go and give this person a house. Go and give this person a land. Go and give this person so millions." And his job description was to keep disbursing good things to people. And he was never remembered in 16 years. Some of the people he gave houses to, he kept wondering why. Because they were for flimsy reasons. Whereas he that was serving, laboring faithfully, acknowledged to be a loyal servant and a faithful servant, but they never remembered to give him a dime. And he served until they served their way out of government. He gave houses to hundreds of persons, lands to hundreds of persons, but he never had one. So human connection is not an insurance. Human connection is not an assurance that you will prosper, except as the impute of the Holy Ghost come. Did you not read the story of Mordecai? He saved the life of the king, yet the king did not remember until the day the impute of the Holy Ghost was invoked. And while the king was yet sleeping, the spirit went and troubled him to wake up. And that night, he said they should bring the book of the remembrance, the chronicles of the kings. Who has done something for the king that has not been remembered? How come the king did not remember until that night? If this was such an urgency, why did he have to wait for too long? Because until the spirit be poured upon us from on high, the wilderness will remain a desolate place. It is the outpouring of the spirit that converts the wilderness to a forest. And so if a man does not know how to mobilize the powers of the spirit, he is gone. He will work hard, he will be faithful, he will be diligent, but he will not make progress in life. Progress in life is a function of spiritual realities. When you see a man boast, find out what he's standing on. It's not a certificate. It's the assurance of a spirit. He has heard something beyond time. A spirit has whispered to him. And he knows, come rain, come shine. The one speaking does not dwell in time. He's speaking from a realm beyond time. And so he rules over the time elements. If all you have is earthly, you're in trouble. You may think you are making progress. It's because the evil day has not come. The evil day is the signature that vetoes whether you are standing on the rock. When the evil day comes and you are still standing, know that what is keeping you is beyond human connection. And so I said there are two ways of accessing spiritual power. And the senior apostle came and added the third. You know, these things are in depth. Where your knowledge stops, that's where another person's soul starts. I said the first way of mobilizing spirit power is through the protocol of intimacy. And so when a man wants to generate the power that is beyond time, he must connect to the spirit that dwells beyond time. If he doesn't know how to interact with that spirit, he cannot touch the powers that that spirit commands. And so I said, for every man that is mobilizing powers that defy everything time throws at him, he is touching something that is beyond time. The name of that operation is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that is only activated when intimacy is secured. I say, when you begin to build intimacy with the Holy Spirit, the goal is not the channel through which intimacy is achieved. Intimacy can be achieved through prayer. Intimacy can be achieved through fasting. Intimacy can be achieved through worship. But these things in themselves are not what makes the difference. Because many people are praying, not everybody has results. A man who engages the corridor of intimacy and provokes results is the man that touches the resources that intimacy provides. Because it's not what we do that provokes the power necessarily. It's what comes to us based on what we do. Because we are praying from the physical realm, what we are looking for comes from beyond the physical realm. And so when a man begins to engage intimacy, I said there are many things that are activated. The first thing that is activated is the voice of God. When God speaks, everything is commanded to obey. Because the very earth that we stand on today was created by the word of God. He said the word was framed by the word of God. And the things which are were not made out of the things which do appear. And so every man who wants to succeed beyond what earth has to offer, he must hear the voice of God. But the voice of God is not in the market. The voice of God is tied to your relationship with God. And so as you grow in intimacy, the voice of God becomes clearer to you. I went far to tell us that you are not wealthy because you have money in your account. You are wealthy because the voice of God dwells with you. Because the money you account can finish. The men you work with can despise and betray you. But if the voice of God is with you, you are invincible. Because the voice of God is full of majesty. The voice of God divided the flames of fire. He discovered the forest. He causes the hinds to carve. Everything that holds the potential for greatness is captured within the voice of God. And so when God speaks, even if nothing is working, he can make things work. He told the children of Israel in the wilderness, they called for food and meat, and Moses began to rebuke them. Where will you get meat from in the wilderness? Are you not aware where you are? There are some of you who are in the pit today, and you are trusting God to affect the globe, and somebody who is looking in the natural comes to you and tells you, are you not aware where you are standing? You have nobody. You have nothing. The Bible said he lifted the beggar from the donkey. He establishes him upon thrones that he may inherit them. It doesn't matter where you are standing. Right there in the wilderness, the Bible said when God spoke, he said quails were moved by the east wind, and quails came into the camp. They littered the ground until there was nowhere for them to stand. The birds began to stand upon the beds until there was a heap of beds. They killed animals. They had more than enough in the wilderness. Not because anything special happened. It's because God spoke. When God spoke, he commanded the birds to come from nowhere. Everything you are looking for is at the mercy of the voice of God. The moment God speaks, even if nothing were working, suddenly you become a champion. And when men ask you, how did this happen? You will say, grace, grace. The easiest way to succeed in life is to hear and obey the voice of God. But for you to hear and obey the voice of God, you must journey with God to the point where the voice dwells. If the voice comes to you, you become a champion. Ezekiel was in the valley of dry bones. God needed an army. Where will they come from? Even if the men come, when will they be trained? Where is the time? You know what it takes to train an army? And then when you train them, where will you get the resources to equip them? All of that is captured in the voice. When God spoke, he said, I spake as I was commanded. And suddenly the wind came. He said, the bones joined to bones. He said, flesh came, joined them. They became dead men. The breath entered into them. An exceeding great army stood up. That means when they stood up, they didn't just stand up as men. They stood up with health. They stood up with life. And they stood up with the training required for a military officer. All of that happened at the same time. The training and every configuration necessary was wired into them. That's why it doesn't matter what your weakness is. When God speaks, your weakness becomes your advantage. Many don't labor to access the voice of God. The time we spend pursuing men, if we spent it on the altar, men will pursue us. Apostle was speaking yesterday. He said, do you know what it takes in this wicked world for somebody to isolate you and want to show you favor? And he's not doing it once. He's doing it again and again and again. In this wicked world, do you know how many people you need to feed in your own family? How will you dare think of somebody else who is not related to you by blood? In this world of manipulation and cruelty, how can somebody constantly favor you? When it happens, fear. Because it's the voice of God making it happen. And you will discover that most of the things you require in life will be beyond your qualification. When you check the value accrued to you only based on your qualification and you weigh the requirements of your destiny, you will repent. Because you will know that you need much more than what you desire or deserve to succeed in life. And what will bring it to you on a platter is the voice of God. And so when we labor in intimacy, we have come to a point of self-realization that we are not sufficient in ourselves. And so we need something from another realm. And the way God downloads those realities to you is through the speakings of God's word. The second thing I said is activated through intimacy is the government of God. When the government of God comes, it's not only bringing you the resources of the spirit, it's attempting to make you the solution. Because it's one thing to receive from God, it's another thing to be made the answer to your generation. You may need something for your generation, and God deploys it through his voice. And a point will come, your generation will need something, and God will send you as the answer. The voice of God brings the resources of the spirit, But the government of God makes you the resource of the Spirit. One is superior to the other. And so I said, when a man begins to journey in intimacy and the power of the Holy Spirit is mobilized, five things happen to him. Number one, the glory of God is activated on his inside. I said the glory of God is the essence of God. What makes God God? And when God created man, he created him to bear his glory. It was the fall that made us to fall short of the glory. But when we activate intimacy, the glory is restored. And so we begin to look not like man of man, but man of God. Because man of God is not a prophet. Man of God is one who carries the essence of God. When the glory is activated, the second thing that is activated is the likeness of God. The likeness of God are the things that only God does. I am speaking now because I'm a man. No matter how I train a dog, he can't speak. I speak because I'm a man. And I'm speaking because I have the essence of a man. If I receive the essence of God, I will also have the likeness of God. So when God touches people and they are healed, if I touch people, they will be healed. And then you are asking, how is it possible? When I touch them, God touched them. The third thing that happened to you when the government of God is activated, I said, is the fact that you are brought into his presence, and it relates to it. It means transformation. In transformation, you begin to take off your humanity and put off your divinity. That's why I told you are a hybrid creature. A lot of people are not aware that they are not just men. And so the world tells you, all of us are men. All of us will suffer. All of us are weak. We are not all weak. We are not all the same. What happens to others cannot happen to me. It takes transformation to realize it. Transformation is not just living above sin. Transformation is actually to live in the God class. And not many people are living there because they are not intimately working with God. You come from a place where everybody is poor. No matter how you try, at best, you are preparing yourself to be a better servant. That's why in Africa today, people study to PhD level. You ask them why, they say they want a better job. So their idea of studying more is to become better slaves. But you go to other nations where they have the right mentality, the right mindset. They tell you school is delaying them. Because they know they are kings in the making. They are those. I'm not saying don't go to school. But I'm telling you that some have a mentality. Did you not study about Bill Gates? The Harvard University that many people are laboring to attend so that they will present the certificate and have a better job. Somebody has pulled out of Harvard and says it's a delay. And goes to build the largest computer network in the world. Because he has a kingly mentality. It's in the US that people do things that they want. But in Africa, people do things that give them security. Because we have the mindset of servants. And so when we are working with men, we are looking for what to eat. When we go to school, we are looking for insurance. The mindset is wrong. And even as PhD holders, it is in this country that we saw PhD holders applying to drive Dangote trucks. That means they studied, they were not interested in the book in the first place. They are just looking for something that gives them an edge. And so when we dress on suit and tie, we are actually called civil servants because we are civilized servants. It's a mindset. The reason is because your environment has mentored you even before you got formal education. Your parents unconsciously mentored you like that. You say you want something, and instead of your father to tell you that we will have it by the Spirit, don't worry, with time we'll have it. He will tell you we are poor, we can't afford it. That I can't afford it now does not mean I'm poor. They are two different things. I may not afford it now because there are other priorities. But I will afford it when I deal with the priorities. But we have been mentored to think we are poor from childhood. And so growing up, no matter what we have, we say we are poor. This is what happened to us even in the Spirit. You have already been called a sinner. You have already been told if you are a failure. You have already been told there is nothing special about you. So even though you are trying to study a book, you are thinking you will study it and become better. Transformation is beyond becoming better. Transformation is to activate your divine element. And when true transformation begins to happen, you begin to see yourself in the class of God. And when you see yourself in the class of God, you begin to command the things that God commands. The third thing that happens is that the power of eternal life is activated. When the power of eternal life is activated, you become indestructible. When Jesus told us, if we drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt us. If it is not true, then we have been set up. If it's not true, then we are finished. But Jesus was trying to open our understanding to let us know that there is an economy on our inside that makes us indestructible. So we are not trying to survive. We are the life of this world. We are not trying to be careful. We are the answer to this generation. If you don't know this, the devil will torment you with fear. And when the gate of fear opens, any other spirit can rule you. When Jesus told us that we are the light of the world, when Jesus told us that the life of God is in us, when Jesus told us we should lay hands on the sick to recover, he's telling us there is another order of life in our spirit. And so when ministry is not working, you say, in the name of Jesus, walk. When business is not working, you say, in the name of Jesus, walk. When nothing is working, you begin to speak. Because when men walk, they labor. When a God walks, he talks. But check yourself out. You walk the right way and talk the wrong way. Because you think you are a man of man. If you started talking according to the protocol of life, you will discover that with little effort, you will get great results. Don't make the mistake of thinking that the men succeeding are killing themselves with hard work. They walk smartly and they talk correctly. That's what puts them on top. There are many other people that are walking from morning to night, but their words are wrong. We will never succeed. In this country, we will die. If we don't run out of this country, we are finished. Do you know how much people are making out of this country on a daily basis? You have not understood how life works. When life is activated, there are certain things you say, you lose your peace. You will have to repent. When life is activated, there are certain thoughts you think, you will take it back and say, I can't think like this. Because you know that because you carry the God life now, whatever you think or say is created. And because you are now a co-creator with God, you will be careful what you think and what you say. Because what you think and say is what you have. When you begin to walk in intimacy, that is when they will give you the new syllables of your reality. You may come from Nigeria and they tell you Nigerians are backward. Nigerians are criminals. But as you begin to pray, you discover you are not a Nigerian. You are a Zionite living in Nigeria. They may have told you Nigerians are failures. When you enter the spirit realm, you will discover that in the spirit, we are all equal in Christ. We are one man in Christ Jesus. And so the guy from Germany cannot intimidate you. When he shows up, we are all from Zion, operating in different territories. And if he's not careful in the spirit, you may have more rank than him. The things I'm trying to keep it, my God. I'm trying to keep it basic because I don't have time to say things I can't explain. I was carried in the spirit and I met Enoch. So I realized that the people working with me in time are not my only partners. I discovered that through the gate of the spirit, I can meet anybody that have passed through this time at any time. And so if I need what Elijah carries, all I need to do is to sit on the writings concerning Elijah. And as I'm reading it, I'm praying in the spirit. Reading it, give me 2 weeks. The next time, either when I sleep, I will enter the spirit, or while I am yet studying, I'll be caught up in the trance. And when I come back, you will see an element of reality that is older than my age. Because I have gone out of time backward. And if I want something in the future, like John, I can begin to delve in the spirit and I will leave time behind and enter the future. When John entered heaven, he saw the things that will happen hereafter. He said, come up hither. I will show you the things that will happen hereafter. It is only through the corridor of life that we have such possibilities. It is in a place of intimacy that you will see things that are beyond you. You are not limited. They tell you women cannot do ministry. All you need to do is to enter the spirit. And you'll be shocked. You will meet Ami Semper McPherson. What did you do in your generation that made you do ministry even when people were fought? It is possible. Because when we come into life, we live beyond death. He said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirit of just men made perfect. They didn't die, they were made perfect. When you enter life, you enter limitless possibilities. It is in intimacy you will be taught. Sometimes when we talk, people say we are too young to say what we say, that we are arrogant. They think we are talking alone. There are times when we talk, we echo realities from ages past. And those that have understanding, they know what we are saying, we didn't read them. We traveled somewhere to find them. Everybody carrying life, if he begins to build a relationship with God, you will be sure that that thing they told you cannot work on your job, somebody else have worked it before. And when you enter, they will connect you to that person. It was Daniel that worked as a governor, and in Babylon, he was never defied. And so you enter politics, they tell you, you must be dirty to create a change. Go and find Daniel in the spirit. When you enter the spirit, he will teach you how to win favor with the king and yet not be corrupt. All of these are in the spirit. They tell you that you can't succeed. You need wisdom from the dark world. Go and find Joseph. What did you do that made you take over Egypt? It is in the spirit. When you enter life, all of these possibilities are open. This is why intimacy confers upon you powers that are beyond you. Because when you begin to journey in intimacy, the Holy Ghost opens you to possibilities. The final thing that happens as you journey in intimacy is the scepter of authority that the Lord gives to you. If you study the life of Samuel, there was a time when Samuel needed to raise an altar to defend Israel. 1 Samuel 7 verse 12. He said, when the Philistines came against Israel, Samuel built a stone and he called it Ebenezer. And he said, from then the hand of God was against the Philistine. It was priesthood that gave him that authority. A point came, Samuel migrated from that realm. Samuel came to a level of authority that in intimacy, he began to create leaders. And so if Samuel is in Lagos, there can be no attack in Lagos. He doesn't need to check. Saul sent an army to arrest him. They came, all of them began to prophesy. Saul came himself to arrest him. He pulled in clothes and became naked, and he was prophesying. Once upon a time, he needed to raise an altar. Now he has created a router. A point will come where in this country, we will build so many routers that if the sons of the bondwoman come from the point where they came, fire will fight them. Did you not read? He said that the Lord shall be a chariot of fire surrounding you. Samuel taught us that through intimacy, you can build radars. Imagine if we have 36 men in this country that can build radars to cover states. All that we are dealing with, we stop. Because that man will sit in his room and they will cause all the bandits to be arrested. All that they are doing, there will be miscalculations. There will be crisis, there will be confusion, and they will kill themselves until they are destroyed. When people say we shouldn't pray, I laugh, because they don't know the power of prayer. When we enter the gateway of intimacy, one of the things we come out with is divine authority. It's either in the form of wisdom or in the form of utterances that can change things. And the point will come, you will build from a radar, you will carry a mantle. Because when Samuel came to maturity, he said, except I am not a prophet of God. This is dry season. I will speak now. 1 Samuel chapter 12 from verse 3 to verse 16. And he said, it will thunder and it will rain in your presence. And instantly Samuel spoke, and thunder and lightning and rain began immediately. What has happened? Through intimacy, he has journeyed from accessing God. He entered the point of creating a radar, and he entered the point of carrying a mantle. When that kind of person wants to change things, all he needs to do is to speak. That's why when he came to David, he spoke over David's life and anointed him. David became a king. It's authority. When you want to mobilize the power of the Holy Spirit, you must allow the Holy Spirit exercise government over you. The problem many people have is that they don't want the government of the Holy Spirit, but they want the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost begins to exercise government over you, what it does is that it brings restraint over your life. He that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. There are many times when somebody will offend you and you want to speak and they say, keep quiet. That talk you would have spoken would have ventilated your flesh. Because when they spoke, you too want to show them that you are not a small person. You know your right. You can't talk to me the way you want. I can change things for you now. And then when you want to mobilize the powers of the flesh, the Holy Ghost says, be still. The moment he says, be still, that anger you would have raised on that person will explode on your inside. And you will die there. You will die there. You will be there for... Sometimes it will take 2 days to recover. There are many times when you may be accused. You have all the evidences. You want to speak and the Holy Ghost says, keep quiet. I want to fight for you. If you don't know the power of the Spirit and the government of the Spirit, you will say, wait, I need to prove myself. And you will go out and defend yourself. As you have defended yourself, you will have to defend yourself for the next 10 years. Because the Holy Ghost will withdraw. Since you know how to defend yourself for 10 years. And then you will discover that the person you dealt with is your least adversary. The next opposition that will come, all your connection mobilize it, you will not be able to face them. That's when you will come back and say, God help me, it's too late. Men who walk with the government of the Spirit are restrained by the Spirit. There are many people talking. There are many people praying, but they don't know the restraint of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost talks, they must do it their own way. It's when they do it that they are satisfied. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1, it says, he that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sinning. He that have suffered, the sufferings of the flesh are the restraints of the Holy Spirit. There are many things you can do. He said, don't try it. Sometimes you are starting a project. You have all your strategies outlined. You are prepared and say, don't do this. Wait. And then you are waiting. You have a deadline of 10 days. You wait for 9 days. All your body begins to eat you. I have to do something. I can't continue waiting. What do you mean wait? You don't know that in the spirit, you don't accelerate by acting. You accelerate by waiting. It's a day that wait upon the Lord. They mount up with wings as the eagle. You may have started that job with your strategy. Can you sustain it for 50 years? The one who says wait, he has seen into 70 years of your future. You are just seeing 14 days. And you are restless in 14 days. Because you have refused his government, you will not see his power. To mobilize the power of the Spirit, you must come under the government of the Spirit. And many times, the government of the Spirit is at variance with the government of the flesh. That's why I said the Spirit wrestles against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. And the two are one against the other. Every man who wants to see the power of the Holy Spirit must come under the government of the Holy Spirit. When you come under the government of the Holy Spirit, you become invincible. Forget about this generation of quoting scriptures. Forget about this generation of acting spiritual. When real challenges of life come, you will discover that if that authority is not with you, it's not with you. You will do all the drama, the challenge will still prevail. Because if God doesn't win you, God can't win through you. He said, when your obedience is complete, then you will avenge other disobedience. It's called the government of the Holy Spirit. This is why, like Apostle was sharing yesterday, the first way to mobilize the power of the Spirit is brokenness. Because in brokenness, brokenness is actually a state of self-realization. That in yourself, you are nothing. You may have a momentary advantage. Maybe you spoke eloquently and they made you a head boy in secondary school. Life is beyond being a head boy. Maybe you had a high IQ and you came first from primary 1 to primary 6. You came first from just 1 to SS 3. You came top in your class and made the first class. Life is beyond the first class. Maybe you had connections with men. Life is beyond connection. If you have seen far enough, you will say, thank God for my intelligence. Thank God for the men God have surrounded me with. Thank God for the advantages I have. But I have seen that all of these things are temporal. And so even though I have these things, I refuse to depend on these things. If you come to that point of self-realization and you are willing to give up yourself and embrace God, it's called brokenness. That's why Paul said we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. Paul spoke, men began to worship him, that this is a God. But that same man, with such level of wisdom and oratorial power, still said, I have no confidence in the flesh. He has seen far. Because a day will come when your walls can't bring you salvation. Paul entered the city, they stoned him to death. Imagine the contradiction of life. You came from one city, they called you a God. You enter the next city, You that they called a god, they stoned you to death. Imagine if he depended on his utterance. The utterance didn't work at that time. When he fell down, the Bible said the church surrounded him. He got up again with strength. That strength was not physical. That strength was divine. And the moment he got up, the man that was stoned to death, even if he's resuscitated, he should go to the hospital. He said, rise, let's go to the next city. That means what came upon the man was beyond human ability. I'm telling you today that all you call an advantage is a mirage. Because there's a problem that will defy it. The only way you can become invincible is to mobilize the power of the Spirit. And the first way to do it is a state of brokenness. David was a king. God frowned at him. And immediately he tore his clothes, laid on the floor naked, and was begging, take not thy spirit from within me. He said, for a contrite heart and a broken spirit thou shalt not despise. The man knew the secret that mobilizes the power of God. So when David is invincible, it's not because he has an advantage of kingship. Hope you know David had mighty men. One of them can take 800 soldiers. It's possible for David to say, Lord, you don't have to be so hard on me, and continue moving. He knew that even though I have one man who can take 800 men, my crisis is beyond men. The forces I contend with, they are beyond men. Somebody may be in the real estate business and he thinks it's about being smart, discovering land, buying land, do good trading. There's another person in that real estate business that works with demons. When he shows up, he doesn't talk. Demons talk on his behalf. And you may come and win the contract, but you may live with paralysis. Paralysis is not part of the equation. And because you know that all your natural abilities can only win you a contract, you need to depend on the one that beyond contract can preserve you from death and paralysis. This is what wise men know. That is why they never count their advantages. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5, Paul clearly outlined it. He outlined it clearly. He knew, I don't have any advantage in the flesh. I refuse to look at my fleshly advantages. Many people can't see the power of God because they depend too much on themselves. The lady wants to get married. She cannot see God. She can't. She thinks her beauty will give her the best husband. And then because she's so beautiful, she's looking at the man with the greatest muscle. The man with the six-pack. A day will come, if God doesn't lead you, that six-pack will become your greatest terror. Because the same hands that stands well in the suit, that hand can slap. It takes wisdom to know. So no matter what advantage we have, we know that our advantages apart from God can become a curse. And so we don't look at our advantage. When you arrive there, God will always answer for you. If you can get there, it's a journey in the spirit. But if you can get there, when I started ministry, I had a lot of utterance. If I come to a place and I start talking, after 5 minutes, everywhere is engulfed with fire. And so when I'm going for a meeting, I don't have time to pray. Sometimes I just come. And when I see that the people love wisdom, I will go poetic. Sometimes I will go scientific. I'll start invoking the laws of quantum mechanics. And whether you like it or not, when I pull those strings, somewhere you will jump up. And the point came, they started inviting me to places where they don't understand English. The last journey I came from in Pakistan, even the interpreter is learning English language. And so I was forced to forget every mystery I knew. What I preached for 7 meetings was, for God so loved the world. There was no time, because if you preach the mystery, nobody can interpret. I can come here and begin to talk about patterns of the heavenlies. I can talk about angelic order. I can talk about strategies of drawing from the spirit. Many things. If you use any complex English language there, the man will stop you and say, what did you say? The whole anointing will drain. And so in order not to be stopped in the middle of the meeting, all I was preaching was, Jesus loves you. If you give your heart to Jesus today, you will receive eternal life. And if you receive eternal life, you will be delivered. When I finish preaching, I don't sense any anointing. And I will just say, Lord, touch them. I say, in the name of Jesus. The first night I came, I said, in the name of Jesus. Because when I finished preaching the whole message, my spirit had not ascended. But it was in that valley that I knew what it means to depend. Depend. And when I say, Jesus, Oh my God. I saw that my ego and my utterances were limiting the Holy Spirit. Because when I use bogus words, men are excited. But now that I have decided to humble myself, the Holy Ghost came out as a star. He came out as a giant. He came out. In fact, the last night, I was rushing to catch my flight. My check-in time was 12 midnight. I was to take off 3:30 to Dubai and then to Nigeria. So I rushed to the crusade for 40 minutes. When I was done preaching for 30 minutes, as I said, Jesus, the first testimony I heard was a witch here. They carried a witch here, an elderly woman that was paralyzed. They carried her. How did she stand up? I didn't sense any anointing. The anointing must not be on my head. It can enter the atmosphere. Because at this time, I didn't depend on myself. The Holy Ghost boycotted me. And he entered the atmosphere like a king. And what he was doing was searching the... Oh man. The witch here went up. And immediately I saw it. I said, my God. They that wait upon the Lord, they are like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. The next thing I said, Jesus is the Son of God. Somebody ran out and said, I was there for 2 years. You can hear. Another one came out. I was blind. I didn't sense any anointing. I didn't preach anything special. But in the state of brokenness, I left my abilities. I left my natural advantage. And the Holy Ghost came out and said, I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. You have depended on human connection. You have depended on other things. But you need to know that the powers that created the world, they are in the spirit. I am your advantage. This is why you don't have to be afraid. All you need to do is to rely on him. When you depend on him, you will see powers that you will not be able to mobilize by any other means in the universe. It's called brokenness. Ah! I wish Christians can understand this. And we will let go of all that we have built our life upon. He said we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. I don't know what you are going through, but there is a power that is waiting for you to show your wounds. It is when you show your wounds that that power is mobilized. And they will come and look upon you. Did you not read about Moses? He said, I'm a stammerer. And he said, who created the mouth? That you have a mouth at all is a sign that something miraculous is happening. Who created the mouth before you stammer? Nothing you call a disadvantage is a disadvantage. Your only disadvantage is that you have built your confidence on yourself. And a generation needs to rise that will forget about themselves and say, Lord, where are you? Lord, I depend on you. Lord, you are the king. You are the master. And you will see what God will do with you. Some of you are singers. You have a good voice. That's beautiful. But a good voice can take you nowhere. It is the advantage of the spirit that moves men. Some of you are intercessors. You can kneel down and pray for 72 hours. But your pride has become in your prayer power. And when you come, you say, I'm a prayer warrior. Many prayer warriors are gallant failures. Some of you are seers. Your pride is in the fact that you can see. If you are not careful, your ministry for 40 years will be family deliverance. They will mobilize you every day to go and deliver family. You will travel to Lagos to do VG. And when you finish in that family, they will send you back. And you will do it for 40 years. Meanwhile, you have the potential of seeing the future of nations. Giving direction to territories and establishing the counsel of God. But before you started, you built your confidence on your sight. And your sight will become your weakness. If the Holy Ghost doesn't give you an advantage, you are gone. My time is on. I ended up doing a recap. Because this is where Apostle Sherman stopped. I wanted to show you three other things that help to mobilize the power of the Spirit. The second is sincerity. He said the eyes of the Lord move to and fro the earth, searching for those who are perfect in heart, that he may make strong his powers. When you find men who are cunning, they can never see the power of God. Because they think they are wiser than the ancients. Meanwhile, their wisdom is only profitable in the realm of men. The people you are dealing with, the beings you are dealing with, some of them are demons. Some of them are fallen angels. They were there when the foundation of the earth was coated. And some of them were the ones that tormented your grandfathers. They tormented your father. And you come, you want to be wise. They know the decisions you make before you start. Because they know that Abraham loved fair women. Isaac loved fair women. Jacob loved fair women. And so before you act smart, they have predicted all your moves because they know your bloodline. They know your lineage and they know your tendencies and propensities. You cannot be cunning and expect God to walk, because while you are talking, he's not only hearing what you are saying, he's also hearing what you are thinking. Many people are liars. They are fake. They come to God and tell God, Lord, if you give me this thing, I will return this to you. It's a lie. Even God knows their heart before they started. They thought God would be moved by their sentiment. And so they keep at it. Nothing happens. When God finds sincerity in the man's life, the powers of heaven are mobilized. The reason we don't see the power of God is because we are insincere, even with God. And it's a shame that men come before God and they are not sincere. The reason is because you have not known him. If you know his propensities, when you come before him, you'll be honest. And it is in your honesty that his power is activated. The more you try to be wise and smart before God, he will allow you to do it for 5 years. He said, to the crooked, I'll become crooked. Since you want to be smart, let's play this your game. He will be with you and you will play the game for 10 years. Sometimes it's when you now notice gray hair. That's when you will become honest for the first time in your life. He will say, well, when you came to me in 1974, I knew you were lying. So I waited for you to come to this place. And since you decided to come in 2002, let's start from where we stopped in 1974. You want to see the authority of God, you must become honest with him. And not just with God, but with men. Many times the reason we are afraid, we feel if we don't cut corners, we'll be disadvantaged. Did you not know? He said the hand of God came upon Elijah. He outran the chariot of Ahab unto Jezreel. That thing you call an advantage is a disadvantage. Did you read the story of Joseph? Because of honesty, he was thrown into a pit. Because of honesty, he was driven from the only insurance he had in Potiphar's house. He was in the prison for 14 years. How can you be a stranger in a foreign land? And in a foreign land, you are in prison. And the God you decided to stand with forgot you. In Genesis 39 verse 9, he said, how can I do this evil and sin against God? You will expect that God will thunder from heaven and save him. God kept quiet for 14 years. But after 14 years, in Psalm 105 verse 17, he said, until the time that his word came. He said, the word of the Lord tried him. He said, the king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance. He gave him authority to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. Potiphar, in 14 years, was not a senator in Egypt. So what you call the delay in prison was actually a highway to glory. Because if he remained in Potiphar's house, both him and Potiphar cannot be a senator. But a point came, by standing in truth, he became a commander of all the senators in Egypt. In fact, the king told him, you are answerable to no one except me and the throne. You are honest today, it takes you two steps backwards. What you are seeing is those two steps. You have not seen the hand of God. Because God allows you to take two steps backward. It's a momentum to fly. What you call two steps backward is an energy to take off, because you don't need to walk into your destiny. Some of you, we need to fly. But God will wait for you to be honest. That your honesty, he took you backward. He broke a relationship. And it looks as if for 3 years you are not married. That guy is not qualified. 4 years later, the person God is preparing for you is finishing a program in the US. And it will take him 4 years to come. That's why God allowed this one to crumble. 4 years later, when God shows up, God will lift you from zero to hero. And then you are wondering, how shall these things be? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Many Christians are quoting scriptures, but they don't know how to go forward. So while they are quoting scriptures, they are cutting corners. And they are messing up the possibilities of God in their life. You may not know 1,000 scriptures, but you may know what to do and go forward. One of it is integrity. The Bible said concerning Daniel, Daniel and his friends, Daniel 1 verse 8, refused to be defied by the portion of the king's meat. In Daniel chapter 5 verse 11, the record of this eunuch was said. And he said, there is a man in thy kingdom. He was no longer called a slave. He was no longer called a eunuch. He said, in him is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Light and understanding is in this man. An excellent spirit, such as can explain hard sentences. He said, in the days of thy father the king, he gave counsel, and it was like God. And Daniel instantly was made a governor in Babylon. What did he look like at first? At first, when he decided to stand true to his calling, it looked like he was going backward. But in the time that God ordained him, he moved from the back and came straight to the front. When God is insisting on upright living, it's because it's a channel for the power of God. Don't cut corners. It's natural for people to want to cut corners in Lagos because you need to survive. The city is in a rush. And so even Christians and Muslims alike are lying every day to go forward. Don't be a part of them. Be delayed momentarily for saying the truth, but wait on God. When the wind of the Spirit comes, you will be shocked that the people that were lying in that context where you refused to, God will lift you. What he will give you in 1 year will be bigger than what he will give you. Give those people in the 100 years. I remember a few years ago when I was teaching in a school, they told us to cut corners in WAEC. After teaching students for months, you have to come and collect WAEC paper and answer it and give to them, so that the proprietress will be happy and give you 5,000. And I said, no, the pastor, we don't do that. She frowned at me for more than 2 weeks, and I had to eventually leave the school because the atmosphere became corrosive. But few years down the line, I can buy that school. We needed to start something in January. The equipment bill they gave me alone was 35 million. In 5 months, we have bought all. What if I was in that school? I would have been marking YX script now. When they mark YX script, they pay them 25,000 naira. And sometimes you mark 600 papers. Both objective and essay. They will still probe it to ensure that you didn't make mistake. Every time you cut corners, you slow down your life. You shut down your possibilities. There's an invincible finger that lifts men. But that finger will wait to see the integrity of your heart. Many people have no integrity. That's why we are dancing in church, quoting scriptures, but we are not going forward. A time has come for an army to rise. And one of the things we will have as badges in the spirit is a testimony of integrity. So that God can be assured to allow us the powers of the ages to come. We need women that can speak and governments will shut down. But where are such women? Is it the ones that commit fornication because of marriage? They cannot know the powers of the ages to come. We need men that can speak and the nation will stand still. But where are those men? Is it the ones that lie and manipulate figures to win a contract of 100 million? A nation is bigger than money. The authority required is built into integrity. You can't see true power if you are not sincere. Let's pray. Time is gone. You know, I had to shut down from the beginning because I want to say some things. But maybe next time, when you are with fathers, you have to be careful. Because if they are happy, God will promote you. If they are angry, things can go wrong. Sincerity is the second thing that activates true power. I am telling you this, even people in ministry are liars, exaggerators and manipulators. That's why they labor so hard, yet show so little. Because they can't mobilize sufficient power. You don't know the forces trying to manipulate your destiny. You cannot afford to cut corners. The road is narrow. The gate is straight. Only honest men can walk through. People are cutting corners already in secondary school, mentored into iniquity. How can they see the power of God? Our generation is bleeding. It's looking for men that can stand at the gate and say, restore. But when the princes come, they find too many things in us. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh to me. He said, he findeth nothing. And so when I speak, my words are laws in the spirit realm. When you cut corners, you don't have authority in that realm. Because the realm where things are decided, the principalities that are there, they are legislative beings. They are not emotional beings. They deal with laws. And when you come to speak, even when you shout, open the gates, they will say, who is it? It's not just the gates don't leave because you say, lift up the gates. The gates don't leave because you announce that he's the King of Glory. That's why you can come in the name of the Lord and still fail. Because they will ask you, who is the Lord of hosts? Which entourage is talking? Who is the one making this proclamation? We don't respect men because they are men. We respect men because their characters have been verified in the spirit. That's why when he showed up, he knew Jesus was the Son of God. But he wanted to check the strength of his character. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. If you are the Son of God, jump down from this high mountain. He was checking the man, but there was nothing in him. When he was done testing and discovered, this one is a rock. He had to leave him for a season. You can't see true power except as you stop trying to make impression and begin to think about impact. And the way to make impact is to become sincere in your journey in life. Most of us need to repent to see power. It's not about doctrinal error. Your doctrine is correct. Your revelation is sound. But your character is a lie. That's why with the right doctrine, with the right revelation, it looks as if what you are saying is a lie. You have to first of all prove the reality to yourself before the realm can respect you. There are too many liars and insincere men among us. That's why the power of God is not there. When you go back, go and study these two others that I can't talk about now. The third way to mobilize true power is reverence, the fear of the Lord. When you find a man who operates in real power, he fears God. God will check to make sure that you fear him, because reverence for God is not fear. It's not a fear born out of intimidation. As the righteousness of God will come to him with boldness. Reverence for God is a state of understanding of the essence of God, the glory and the majesty of God, that makes you to bow and tremble at his command. There are many people today who are careless even in God's presence. In a service, they are chatting. In a service, they are misbehaving. Why service is going on? Can such a person fear God in his house? Even in the environment where we have allocated for God to be worshipped, you cannot get them to relate with God in fear. No respect, no regard. Can such a person command anything when he's alone? The reason our generation is bankrupt of power is because there's no reverence for God. We have taken God for granted. We are familiar with God's presence. And because we are too familiar, we cannot command the power of God. You stop receiving in the spirit when you become familiar. If you want to receive in the spirit, reverence is what creates the gradient. And if you don't have that reverence for God, you can never see the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not emotion. This is reality. There are times when we preach, people shout. But there are times when we preach, we need people to be sober. Think about these things and align their lives. Somebody is coming to church. He doesn't even remember an offering for God. And when they say offering, he checks and squeezes something out. But when he's going to see a governor, he prepares what he wants to give him in an excellent package. And he brings it with respect to the governor. But when he has to do with God, he's casual about it. And because he came to God and cried, he thinks that is something in the spirit. God said, when you give to your governor, will you give him a blind goat? Because when God is judging your reverence towards him, he's comparing it with how you treat every other authority around you. And what you cannot do before your governor, what you cannot do before your pastor, what you cannot do before your biological parents, if you dare do it before God, you are disqualified. In 1 Samuel 2:30, say, him that honor me, I will honor. Him that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. That's why when we need God to come on the scene, God becomes far from us because we don't reverence him. And so we don't know who he is. If we know who he is, we will tremble at his presence. And if we begin to tremble at God's presence, before we speak, God will answer. While we are yet talking, he will appear. You want God to open a nation for you. If you know God is big enough to open a nation, will you relate with him the way you are relating? A being as powerful enough to open a nation. That prayer you are praying, you don't believe it. Because if you believe God is powerful enough to open a nation for you, your attitude around him will show that you know him that much and you believe that much. You want God to give you a contract that 200 people are vying for. You think God is that powerful? A God that is powerful to isolate you and give you something 200 people are competing for. Is that a God you pocket your hands before? Is that a God you walk up to casually? Is that a God you talk to when you are exhausted? No, you don't know that God. You were just trained to speak religiously. The day you know that God, before you pray, it will show in your relationship with Him. You want to see true power, you must learn the way of reverence. Our generation is too casual in God's presence. Go and find out from the fathers that moved the heavens, and they will tell you how they related with God. Some of them, for 3 hours, they cannot even look up. They are still saying, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. They know the majesty of this God too much. That's why when they say one, the impact lasts for 100 years. Meanwhile, we are talking every day. The impact cannot even affect our immediate society. Whereas the people we are quoting today didn't say half as much as we said. But they know this God. And even God knows that they fear Him. The day you become reverent towards God, that day you will see the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. Because the jealousy of the Holy Ghost came to glorify God. Finally, what gives you true power is faith. Nothing moves God like faith. The moment a man can believe God, he has opened the door for the overflow of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in John 7:38-39, He said, they that believe, out of their bellies shall flow. That means faith activates the river of the Spirit. The moment faith is activated, the Holy Ghost begins to move. The Bible said, they that believe, these signs shall follow them. Mark 16:17. And in verse 20, he said, as they went out, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. The sign that you believe is not that you talk it. The sign that you believe is that you act it out. There are too many people who are not acting out what God told them. If a governor told you today, don't worry, tomorrow you are fine, you will not be able to sleep. You will be too excited waiting for tomorrow. But if God tells you tomorrow it is well, you are still telling your neighbor, we are trusting God. We don't know, but it's well. I'm trying to compare these things with natural things so that you will understand where you are and stop being religious for a second. If the president of this country tells you, come and see me tomorrow, even though he has not promised you anything, your mind will be flooded with possibilities. Does he want to give me an appointment? I know I will not be the same again. He has not promised you anything. Maybe he just wants to ask you your name. But you don't care. The president says I should come. First of all, you will tell all your friends. And if you don't have a good suit, you will go and buy a new one. You will make sure you are there 2 hours before the time. Because you don't want to hear that he came and didn't see you. But when God said to gather together, you are coming casually, not expecting anything. Meanwhile, he has said that upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness. How come you walked into this place and you didn't come excitedly, knowing that because I stepped here, I can't go back with my problem? How come? Because there's no faith. There's religious rituals, but there's no faith. The day faith comes, even if God did not remember you, you will provoke it out of Him. The woman with the issue of blood, Jesus didn't know she was there. When she took from God, God turned and said, who touched me? It's not all the time God needs to call you to reach you. If you can activate faith, you can reach God even if you are not part of the plan. Time is gone. In the next 5 minutes, I want to stir something here. Don't worry, sit down. Adonai. Your day.
you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.